The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that made every kid in America want to be an archaeologist until they find out it's a lot less whipping dudes and shooting them in the stomach and a lot more just dusting old pottery and stuff.
The movie that gave millions of children the most reasonable fear of walking into an airplane propeller.
The movie that tore the world apart over people that supported adorable monkeys, but also hated Nazis by giving us a Nazi monkey.
This is Raiders of the Lost Ark on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. It's the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
I'm Wallace Book.
Welcome back, Book. Book is back for what is a very special first part of a three-part extravaganza.
I'm glad to be the meat.
Yeah. You're the first layer of a delicious sandwich of Indiana Jones.
Exactly. So we're talking all three Indiana Jones movies. Technically, we're now in the top 10.
Yeah. So we're not doing them in order this time.
We're not doing them in order this time. So number 10 is technically Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
But we decided we're going to do in order of release. So this next 3 weeks, you're going to be just rocking out with us and special guests.
Eating a meaty salad of Indiana Jones.
Exactly. As we're talking about one of the all-time great movie franchises, Indiana Jones.
It's the only trilogy that we cover. The whole
thing. It is the only trilogy. Well, I mean, I guess there's Crystal Skull.
Yeah, a quadrilogy. Yeah.
But we're in the 80s, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, no.
We're in 2019, and as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't count. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Shella Booth, dude.
Shella Booth. Mutt.
Mutt. Yeah, they were like, what's it?
Do it! Just do it!
They were like, he was name of, Indiana was the name of the dog.
That's right.
So they're like, Mutt. What other name could we give a guy that's a dog name? Mutt. That's the laziest of all the fucking laziest, way to pick. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's real bad.
He could have named any of his other dogs.
Yeah.
Nope. He went with the stupid. Anyway.
I mean, in fairness, it's not quite as bad as some people make it out to be. Anyway, the other reason it's still pretty bad. Yeah. The other reason this is a special event is you can also see elements of this podcast and behind the scenes at Wallace's YouTube channel.
Yeah. If you go to YouTube and look me up at Mr. Book, which is B00K, Mr. Book. And you can check out some of these guys in real life.
Yeah, if you wanted to know what it looks like when we're just sitting around my living room fucking talking shit.
That's right.
With Seagram's in the middle and some popcorn.
And Chubby Dude's sucking it in.
Yep.
then this is what it is.
So yeah, this is what it
no,
is.
No, go check it out. Go check it out for real.
Yeah, check out his other videos. He's got you got some time-lapsed artwork there and everything.
I do, and some Rockabilly Adventures and soon-to-be Karaoke Adventures and this as well. So this is going to be pretty fun.
So check out his YouTube channel.
Good times.
But we just checked out one of the all-time classic films, Raiders of the
Tomb
Lost
Raider.
Ark.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Tomb Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The Mummy.
The Librarian.
Jewel of the Nile.
Librarian.
King Solomon's Mines.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. That's right. All right.
I forgot about that.
We joke about the Librarian, but there's like five of those fucking movies.
They're very successful.
Yeah, versus straight to video franchise.
Yeah.
Wait, what was
well, they
the
were,
one?
They were originally TNT, weren't they?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What was the Chuck Norris, Lou Gossett Jr. one?
Iron Eagle?
No.
I mean, that was Iron Eagle.
It was Chuck Norris, Lou Gossett Jr. They were looking for something with some chick. And then, like, Sonny from The Predator was the main evil dude.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
Like Sonny from The Predator.
I can't remember the name of that movie right now. But I remember, like, loving that movie when I was a kid. I was like, oh, it's more Indiana Jones. I'm in.
Well, that's one of the only reasons why I like The Mummy is because, oh, this was an Indiana Jones screenplay.
Yeah.
That they just turned into another movie. They just got another funny guy.
Yeah, it's true. Great.
And they got a hotter chick.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
from all actually, the Indiana Jones movies.
Rachel Weisz, I'm in.
Yes.
Alan Quatermain?
Oh, Alan Quatermain! Yeah.
What?
Are you not well-versed in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Come on! I thought that was just a made-up name. That was just words put together.
No,
Alan Quatermain?
It's an old dime novel.
No shit. All right. So that's it. That's stuff, the Chuck Norris one.
Yeah.
God damn, there were a lot of ripoffs of this fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, the Alan Quartermain stuff is from like.
Nope, Indiana Jones. all right. So back in 1981, there's the beginning of the fucking decade.
That's right.
This movie makes.
This is the fifth. That is right. Number five. Highest grossing movie of the entire 1980s.
The highest grossing movie of that year.
By far the highest grossing movie of that year.
$248,159,000 is the total.
Domestically.
The total domestic, yeah.
At a time where movie tickets were like two nickels and a slap on the face.
A moon pie.
Yeah.
You paid it with a slap on the face? Did you pay with it or did you get one?
I think both.
Yeah.
Slap in a butt, because back then you could do that.
You could just grab as much ass as you want.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Yeah, it was your right as a man.
Yeah,
or a woman.
Yeah, that's true. You could just be grabbing ass left and right, and then you would get like a free lamp at the end. Yeah.
That's right,
a free Indiana Jones lamp.
You get a rotary phone.
All right, so this movie, the powerhouse team. There was Spielberg,
and Lucas. So, coming off the heels of the biggest movie franchise of all time, Star Wars.
Yeah.
And the, like, kind of the first giant summer blockbuster, Jaws.
Yeah, Jaws.
As well as, obviously, like...
it was, like, 1941 was in there.
Well, yeah.
Like,
all these other movies. But the other Alien one, fucking...
Close Encounters. Starman.
Oh, yeah.
We all
got one. Flash Gordon.
Close Encounters, exactly.
Yeah, Close Encounters.
Star Trek?
Yep, that's the one.
All the Star Treks.
So yeah, these were two people at kind of the height of their powers. As the story goes, during the original Star Wars, 1977, George Lucas is like, I'm going to fucking Hawaii.
Yeah.
Come with me, my best friend in the world.
Well, because he doesn't like to be around when movies get released.
Which I don't blame him.
And when Star Wars got released, he went to Hawaii.
Yeah. I don't blame him. He doesn't want to hear all the negative press.
That's where he became a frog.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that's where he became.
Now he's a frog.
It is actually, it's really
funny. That's where he became a flesh-colored frog.
It is really funny because when you see him, it's like 1977 on the set of Star Wars, George Lucas...
He's a skinny, young, debonair handsome, guy.
And then 1981, only 4 years later, on the set of Indiana Jones.
Flesh-colored frog.
He's a frogman.
A full-size flesh-colored frogman.
It was his like contract to the devil, you know? It's like, I will make you famous, but you're going to slowly become a frog.
Billionaire, but yes, you will turn into a frogman like you were in fucking Dragon Quest or something.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's his cameo in Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah. As a toad or whatever.
Yeah. Thus his cameo as Toad in the Super Mario Brothers franchise, who is not a frog man.
Human frog.
Yeah, whatever. Who's all those guys?
So anyway, the human frog and Steven Spielberg got together.
Right.
To make this fucking powerhouse of a movie. It's the only one that's nominated for Best Picture.
Right. So Steven Spielberg wanted to do like a James Bond type, you know, world traveling adventure one. And George Lucas was like, have I got a story for you?
I saw a Donald Duck cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah, in which he is, you know, like in the olden days.
It is an adventure.
Looking for artifacts. Yeah.
Spielberg, of course, has always referenced the old, like, you know, serial adventures.
And this is definitely in that. That jungle serial adventure stuff. Yeah.
They get together with Lawrence Kasdan, who, of course, wrote Empire Strikes Back.
And Solo.
And Solo. I think he's slightly more famous for Empire Strikes Back.
No,
I might be wrong, but I think that may
he also wrote Return of the Jedi.
He was co-written on that, I think, yeah.
And I think my favorite, The Bodyguard.
Oh.
He wrote that's a leap. That's a leap.
Love you.
He also directed Silverado.
Which is fucking great. I think he wrote that too.
Yeah. Oh, shit, Body Heat.
Yeah, Body Heat's all right.
A lot of sexiness.
Wyatt Earp.
Like he just got all his sexiness out.
Yeah. He was just an old dude that got his sexiness out.
Yeah.
Then movie form.
Man, fuck your Star Wars, Indiana Jones.
I'm tired of these fucking...
I need some body heat.
Nobody's getting it in any of these adventure movies.
That's true. Well...
I need some fucking body heat.
Indy almost gets it in a couple of times.
Somebody passed
movie.
Out.
Well, but even
and he
before
gets it in.
That...
And he gets
Yeah, he obviously gets it in, but...
All right, let's start with the plot of this fucking movie.
If you haven't seen Indiana Jones...
Shame on you, first of all.
Fuck off.
Shame. Yeah.
I don't normally do that because, look, there's a lot of movies out there and we can't see them all. But come on. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's one of the greatest movies ever made. Yeah. See this shit.
Shame.
Yeah. Shame.
1936. Indiana Jones was looking for this crazy idol with very young, supple Alfred Molina.
Yeah, skinny. Yeah. Skinny Alfred.
Skinny. I think it's his first major role, right?
First movie. First day on a set of his first movie ever. They're like, we're going to cover you with tarantulas. Cool?
Yeah, it's a good bit. Yeah. It's a good bit.
And he's like, yeah, I want to be a movie star.
It is. It's like him and Indy are walking through this cave, and then he's like, ah, you got a tarantula on you. And Indiana Jones has one tarantula on him. Yeah. And he flicks it off, and he's like, do I have any on me? And he turns around, and he's got like 40 of them. It's a great fucking bit. Yeah, good. Yeah. And then Indiana Jones just knocks him off, no problem.
So Alfred Molina, best Spider-Man villain?
Movie-wise, yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Right? Of course, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean
movie-wise, yes. Yeah, clearly yeah. Movie-wise. We're not talking, yeah.
He's also like, you're like, okay, so you've seen...
He's Doc Ock, by the way, if you've never...
Alfred Molina now, which is like my body type. Yeah. but if you were to lose weight, then you would see it in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. So the before
it's now.
Yeah, now.
So if you're like a chubby dude, you're like, oh, well, what would it be like? Okay, then just watching Indiana
Jones. Watching Indiana Jones.
Watching Indiana Jones. It's like, that's what you could be.
Yep.
You could brush off tarantulas.
You get back into your low-carb diet, my friend.
Yeah, right.
You could become...
Cut out the beer and bread and...
You could become... Indiana Jones out for Molina.
Cut out the sugar. So...
Does he die in it? That doesn't matter.
Of course he does.
He's very young looking.
He dies very quickly. Yeah. He's also a fucking traitor.
Yeah. Most people are.
Yeah, that's true.
This movie is
filled with fucking traitors.
Filled with fucking traitors. Everybody's a traitor. Everybody betrays everybody. Even in, like, not Indiana Jones, but Marion. Like, she straddles the line. She doesn't like Indy.
They have a history.
Yeah.
So here's one of the things that's absolutely, and I know we're skipping all around and whatever, but.
Because you've seen the movie.
You've seen the movie. Yeah. Like, for fuck's sake, you've seen the movie. If you haven't, like, don't listen to this podcast. You have better things to do, like watching fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark. One of the things that I absolutely love about this movie is it jumps right into it and is just like, no, Indiana Jones is a guy. This is what he does. Here's his ex-girlfriend. Like, and they don't have to explain everything. They don't have to go back and be like, this is the first time they're meeting and here's his origin story and here's why he got into... No, none of that shit matters.
No. I mean, if you did it now, you would do an origin story.
No, fuck that.
I know, but you know.
I know. I'm just saying.
So anyway, 1936, he's looking for this idol.
Right.
He's with Alfred Molina. They go into this cave. Every movie
ripped
it off after this. Yeah. There's booby traps everywhere.
Have you ever been on the ride in Disneyland?
Oh my God.
So good, yeah.
All right, another thing. Stop listening to this podcast.
And go to the Disneyland. Yeah. So you can go on the Indiana Jones ride.
God damn it, if it's great. It's one of my favorites.
You know what's funny is my kiddo, you know, she... never even seen Raiders of the Lost Ark until tonight.
Really? Oh, because you watch it with her?
Yeah, sweet. We watched it together, and I was like, so I put it on, and she's like, I've never seen this before. Like, what? What?
Sit the fuck down.
And we've gone on a Disneyland ride like a shitload of times.
Yeah, because it's fucking great.
Yeah, so I made her watch it. I was like, hey, I batted the phone. Threw things.
The phone goes in the bucket.
Yeah. You gotta ride the Disneyland ride.
You do have to ride the Disneyland ride.
And then watch Alan Quartermain.
Yeah, that's cool. And then right, so you understand where it's all coming from. Yeah,
it's a good feeling to show somebody Raiders for the first time.
Yeah,
it's very, very fun.
It's a great movie.
So right away, iconic scene, steals the idol.
Yeah,
puts that sack of dirt. I don't know where he got the idea that it was the same weight.
He just eyeballs it, man. That motherfucker knows what gold weighs.
That was solid gold.
Yeah.
That bag of sand is not going to cover that.
Well, clearly it doesn't.
Yeah. Because
it goes wrong, but he's done this enough times. He has a pretty good idea.
Yeah. He gives the idol to Alfred Molina. Alfred Molina leaves him behind. He runs. Then a big giant boulder chases him.
Well, it's that classic, you know, throw me the idol or throw me the whip, throw me the idol.
Yeah. And he gives him the idol and he's like, bye.
Yeah.
Which is.
Good luck, my friend.
Right. All right. Watching this movie again.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I learned is Indiana Jones is the best at finding artifacts and shit like that.
Not the best at holding on to them.
The worst at holding on to them. He loses them at every fucking turn.
Yeah, yeah.
He loses them to everybody. If I was an archaeologist at that time, mm-hmm. I would just follow him and wait for him to lose one.
So you would be Belloc.
I would be Belloc. Or Alfred Molina. I would just kill Alfred Molina and take that idol.
Right, that's true.
Or Belloc, even. Like, he's the worst at keeping the fucking artifacts.
Yes.
Maybe later on he gets better at it. But
In this movie, at least.
Yeah, this movie, it's all about him.
He does everybody's fucking work.
Job. Doing a lot of work for no rewards. Except for, I guess, the lady in the end. So,
that is a reward, yeah.
Oh, you put on work there.
Yeah, yeah, that's the James Bond reward.
That exactly.
He doesn't get paid that much.
No. But he gets to shoot a lot of people and a lot of ladies.
He's
in
complete pain when he's trying to do the same. But
Whatever. He's an alcoholic and whatnot.
James Bond? Yeah. Not Indy. Indy, we never really see. Well, actually, we do see him get pretty wasted at one point, but we'll talk about that.
All right.
So we also, at this scene, this is where you get the iconic boulder coming down at him, him running after. A real thing where fucking Harrison Ford was being chased by a boulder.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Like a crazy awesome fiberglass boulder. And then gets out of it. And then that's when we...
first meet Belloc, the villain of the movie. A movie, which, of course, everyone knows is all about how Nazis are evil. The villain, a French guy.
A snooty French guy.
Yeah.
Which is the most evil of all people.
They have a history, because immediately he's like, once again, Mr. Jones, you see that there is nothing you have that I cannot take.
You can't hang out to shit, man. Yeah. Jones can't hang out to anything.
If only you could speak this crazy language of these native people, maybe you would be able to get out of this, but you cannot.
Yeah. We're, 12 minutes into this movie already... Like three iconic scenes.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Already the taking the idol, the boulder, and the getting chased on the.
Oh, because then immediately, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Immediately, all the natives they bow when they hold the idol up, and then he runs off, and then all they chase their blowguns after him, and fucking arrows and shit. Jumps in, and actually very ungraceful swing in towards the plane.
Yeah. It's a very 45-year-old it's not, guy yeah. swing.
It's, it really, it's one of those things you remember as a kid being super cool. You're like, yeah, then he fucking grabs a vine, swings in. Then you see it again, you're like, oh, he actually just kind of falls.
Yeah.
He's
like 35 or something in this, right?
He's 38, I think.
38.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah, like 38 when they're filming.
Is he 90 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes him like 205 now.
They're making another one?
Well, that's the thing. Like,
yeah, right. They're making another one. That's true.
He's like 39 in this movie, and he looks way better than anybody.
It's like good now.
Yeah.
It's a Charles Bronson thing where he started when he was 50 and then he was just at the
peak. Just that guy.
When he was fucking 50.
Take my notes.
He does look good now. Actually.
I'm almost there.
Yeah, relatively. Yeah. But yeah, Harrison Ford, older than I am right now in this movie. It's unfair. it's not cool.
And so then we cut to he's teaching in a class in college.
Love this scene.
All the women are super fucking in love with him.
Mm-hmm. And it's the iconic, the one girl that has love you on her fucking eyelids.
Which makes me think she had to get somebody else to write that or.
Of course.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
It's very cool.
Also, he's got glasses in this.
So let's talk about that. Yeah, let's talk because I've of course seen this movie a million times, and I've always seen him with glasses, and it's just accepted this because he's in teacher mode. But when you really stop to think about it, there's a couple of things going on here. Either he wears contacts when he's out Indiana Jonesing,
but this is 1930 something.
I don't think they had contacts back then. So the other thing is that he's either half blind when he's out Indiana Jonesing.
Yes.
Or he doesn't need glasses.
Or he wears fake glasses.
He wears fake glasses to look smart. Or, as you pointed out, maybe it's a Clark Kent Superman thing.
Yeah.
Where that's his secret identity is fake glasses.
Yeah. I was like nearsightedness or something like that.
Yeah, but no, but he never like when he reads stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's whips 39. Out. I'm doing this with my phone.
Yeah. You're like checking your glasses. Shit. But he never does that later on where he's like reading shit. He's just like, yeah, no, I could read this already. I think it's a Clark Kent.
I'm pretty sure he's just blowing it off.
Yeah. He's just pretending. He's in professor mode.
Yeah. He just wants
Professor Jones.
He wants to bang all the college chicks by looking like the safe, smart guy.
Yeah.
So then immediately we go to, we get introduced. To yet another iconic character, Porkins.
Oh yeah, that's right. All right,
what
is that? So we looked this up. So two guys show up and start asking him about the Ark of the Covenant. So back then, Porkins. All right, you get
now. Wallace,
you guys see the realization. You're getting
this. It's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, these two guys show up and they're asking him because the Nazis are trying to find the Ark of the Covenant.
Right, and they're from the U.S. government.
Because
and
the Nazis were notorious for doing that shit.
Right, yeah. They were all into the occult and they dug around a bunch and stuff like that. Yeah.
One of the dudes is fucking Porkins from Star Wars.
Yay, Porkins.
Yeah. We're looking him up and we're like, Fucking A.
I know.
Yep.
He was cut out of Star Wars, not cut out of this.
Yeah. Well, no, he's in Star Wars.
He's in Star Wars.
Very, very little.
Very little, yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
There's like an extra scene.
And you're also introduced to Indy's friend Brody, who's like his, I don't know, like...
Oh, Brody's the shit.
He's just his friend that works at the fucking university or whatever.
He just shows up for Indy to be like, I had it, Brody. Yeah, yeah. I had it in my hand. And he's
I need more money to go get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Brody's like, I'm a dip, 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 no, no, can't do. Actually, Brody's really cool in Last Crusade.
He just go get the money from the. Yeah. He just go get the money from the Dukes from Trading Places. And
that's yeah, yeah, yeah. Hell yeah, he does. The Duke brothers.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they show up from. I don't think the CIA was a thing back then, right? Or the FBI or something. I don't know. Military intelligence.
I guess.
Had they? I don't remember.
What was the year on this? 30 something.
It's 36.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, FBI would have already started then.
Yeah, the FBI was around. I don't know about CIA. Yeah.
They were like the Hellboy. They were like
they're the BPRD.
Yeah, BPRD. They were part of the BPRD.
Fucking.
Because who else goes looking?
That's true for things that bump in the night, right? Yeah. We bump back. So they got to beat the. They're like, hey, do you know anything about the Ark of the Covenant?
And he's like, do I know anything?
He's like, first of all, it's in the Bible. It's kind of a big thing. Did you not Charlton Heston, Ten Commandments? Anybody?
Yeah. Because what's in the Ark?
The Ten Commandments.
Pooh.
Poo, right?
I'm gonna say poo.
God's poo.
I Wikipedia'd this, was like the scrolls of Baranon, and it was just words I didn't understand. But nobody then never said Ten Commandments.
Are you sure?
Yeah, in Wikipedia it said it was like the Rove of Malabar.
Well, I don't know. Do you trust Wikipedia or my vague knowledge of when I read the Bible 20 years ago?
Yeah. All right, you got that. But anyway, there's a power in this fucking arc. So they're trying to get it. This is one of those scenes, maybe I'm overanalyzing, but this is one of those scenes where when you read about writing a screenplay, movies that get it right, this is one of those movies that has that, where it's like, instead of just showing you, we have Indiana Jones drawing it on the fucking chalkboard. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is what it looks like. This is what it is. And now, as an audience, we get like a sense of what we're looking for. And so
right.
It's a great scene. It's actually really well paced. It goes by really nice and fast. It's a lot of fucking information.
Yeah, they do an info dump very effectively.
Very effectively, yeah. Yeah. Instead of just fucking talking about shit, which sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, because like, then immediately they're just like, oh, okay, I guess we came to the right guy. Go find it for us, please. Immediate cut to... Oh, well, and they set up... hey, you know Professor Ravenwood?
Yeah, which is a cool, it's a cool Harry Potter name.
First of all, yeah, very, very Harry Potter name. But also he's just like, oh yeah, you know, I don't really keep up with him, you know, cause we had a falling out. Bump, bump, bump.
But I knew his daughter because when she was 15,
I was getting it in.
I had sex with her.
I mean, it's 1936. So, you know, at 15, she's kind of an old maid.
Yeah. Legitimately, if you look up the age.
Yeah.
He was 25 and she was 15.
Yeah.
And I mean, and she's very mad about it still because she was 15.
Well, he was the love of her life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Clearly.
Because when you're 15, that's when you're in love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
It's that virginity thing, man. That's what happens.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Anybody in the world can identify with that shit.
Well, it's also Karen Allen.
Who you may remember from Animal House, where she is also underage and having sex.
True. Exactly.
But also Scrooged. Starman, yeah.
Oh, Wanderers.
Wanderers, yeah.
My favorite. That's where I fell in love with her, was Wanderers. But yeah, so we get a great introduction to Karen Allen.
One of the flies to Nepal
to
meet up with Ravenwood's daughter. Okay.
Ravenclaw?
Ravenclaw's. he goes to find Ravenclaw's diadem fucking ghost lady.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, it's funny because you guys mentioned the link to Harry Potter. Yeah. She says Slytherin.
Does she really?
She does.
No shit.
Yeah. Because of the snakes?
Yeah.
Maybe Slytherin?
She does.
They'd be Slytherin. God damn it.
It's all connected.
It's all connecting. It's all coming.
I knew fucking J.K. Rowling was just a hack, man. Just stealing Indiana Jones stuff.
$1 billion hack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$1 billion hack.
J.K. Rowling was $1 billion hack. One worthless $1 billion hack.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose worth $1 billion, but...
I guess.
I don't know. The introduction,
Karen Allen.
Yeah, the introduction of Karen Allen. So,
yeah, one
Marion
of the,
Ravenwood.
One of the best introductions, yeah.
It's a great introduction because we cut to Nepal and Indiana Jones. Well, actually, Indiana Jones isn't in the scene yet, but We cut to a bar.
She's in one of those is again ripped off a lot by a lot of fucking other movies after this, but it's an iconic.
It's the drinking contest.
It's a drinking competition. Interesting.
Which is a real thing that happens between idiots sometimes.
In Nepal.
Yeah. In Nepal.
And he's like an old dude.
Or is it it's a lady. It's a lady. It's an right? old lady, yeah.
I mean, interchange.
At that point, yeah.
But she's taking shots.
And she drinks her into the table.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She owns the bar too, right?
She does. You find out it's her bar.
Right, yeah,
so. I mean, it's her bar.
I'm just going to drink somebody under the table at my own bar.
That's right. Wins money. And then, of course, in comes the shadow of one fucking fedora-wearing badass.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's a great show. It's a just great a shadow. Show. Yeah. It's like indie. And then he's like, hey.
And then she immediately is like, fuck you, guy.
No, he's like, hey, I need that thing that your dad had.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, cool. And then she punches him in the face.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It is very good.
And then that's when you find out, like, hey, you remember that time when I was 15 years old and you had sex with me and I fell in love with you and then you left?
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, I forgot to say, actually, the one thing I did want to talk about, and this is somewhat unverified, but it's on the internet and I believe it, is that there's a scene earlier where his friend shows up at Indiana Jones's house as he's like preparing and packing and stuff like that. And Indy's just in like a robe.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to have a chick there.
He had a chick there, yeah.
Yeah, obviously he did. He's like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's banging his students left and right.
Left and right, yeah.
Why wouldn't he? This is again, it's the 36,
30s. Yeah. There was nothing wrong with it.
He's just grabbing as much ass and banging as many students as he possibly can.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd point that out in the midst of us talking about him definitely having sex with a 15-year-old and leaving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously.
She's still mad at him.
But he
needs that thing, though.
He offers $3,000 for the staff. He tells her, here's $3,000.
Well, it's not for the staff. It's for the, like, the emblem.
The
staff head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, adjusted for inflation, $32.3 trillion.
That's right.
Yeah. That is the entire world's... Yeah, economy.
Yeah, exactly. The entire world's fucking yearly GDP or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he offers $3,000 for it. And then Nazis show up.
And then she's like, come back later. And he's like, why? He's like, because I said so, motherfucker. Like, get out of my bar. He's like, all right, fine. I'll come back tomorrow. And then the Nazis show up.
Yeah.
And they proceed to strong arm her a little bit because, you know, Nazis.
Yeah, that's what they do.
This goes back to the whole thing, I think.
Oh, and also, it's not just Nazis. It's like Sherpa dudes or whatever.
Yeah, it's like weird looking Sherpas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's Nepal.
Yeah.
And that's what they have. They have Sherpas and they have...
Oh, Jesus.
My glass just fell in half.
Holy crap.
What the hell? Are you a mutant? Was that your mutant power? What the hell just happened? What?
What the shit? It was on the floor not being touched. Look at that.
That shit just broke a fucking half.
What? We just heard a snap.
What the hell just happened?
Look at that fucking clean cut.
That is the cleanest fucking cut.
Did a fucking ninja just run by and cut my glass in half?
Just shink.
How haunted is this place, man? What
happened?
It's not supposed. I've been wanting to see some ghosts for years now, and nothing.
Wow.
Wow, look at that. That's fucking
it's
cool.
It's like clean. It's not even like jagged.
Now I really have no idea where we were.
No,
Nazis just showed up over at...
Right.
Yeah, so we were talking and then your glass cut in half by itself.
So that's right.
We had to take a quick break.
To deal with the fact that my glass had a clean, completely shard-free slice through the fucking middle of it.
For no reason. If you want to see it, go over to the fucking vlog. Go over to Book's vlog.
I have some footage. Yeah.
He took some footage of it. Yeah, it's just cut clean in half.
I might need the. Was there audio?
I think so. Yeah,
it probably picked it up.
I might need some of the audio.
I certainly heard it.
So anyway, the Nazis show up. They start shooting shit.
Right. And luckily,
Indy shows up.
Indy was like, "I didn't go far."
They never go far.
No.
And he starts fighting these dudes.
It's a pretty amazing fight sequence.
Pretty rad.
Yeah. Lights one on fire.
First of all, it's very action packed.
Lights him on fire and then shoots him.
It's hardcore.
Because again, archaeology.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. People getting burned, shot, killed. There's also some really funny bits. And there's There's also this weird thing, which Indiana Jones is shown throughout the movie to be using a revolver. Yeah. Except for in this scene where he has a fucking 45, like, automatic. Colt 1911. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw it in the trivia, and it's like he has two guns. And it's that, like, he just uses the automatic the one time during this whole fucking scene.
The whole movie, yeah.
Now, I don't really know all these things because of Battlefield and Call of Duty.
Yeah, no, the fair. Gun thing. Yeah, that's fair. Again, one of the many other things that it spawned.
Yeah,
Call of Duty is pretty great.
I don't know if we can quite give it credit for that one. Tomb Raider for sure. Yeah. Uncharted for sure. But yeah.
Triangle boobs.
Triangle boobs for sure.
Triangle boobs. Yeah.
People saw Raven. Fucking. Why do I keep messing up her goddamn name?
Or are you talking about Laura
Ravenwood?
Yeah. What's her first name?
Laura.
No.
Wait.
Wrong. Karen.
You talking about Hufflepuff?
Slytherin? What?
Marion.
Efren Rachel Wood?
Marion. That's what you're talking about. All right. So, anyway, how hot was Lara Croft in the first Tomb Raider when you first saw that shit?
Oh, and back in, like, when that was the expected
back
fucking...
Back when PlayStation? Yeah. Was it 97 or some shit? When it, what was
that's
that?
A good,
99?
That's a good question. 96,
97. I graduated college, so it would have been 96, 97.
So dating yourself there, guy.
High school, actually.
High school, yeah. How hot was she in that? And then go back and look at that.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's like you said, triangle boobs.
Oh, yeah, triangle boobs.
Yeah. No, it's complete triangle boobs,
It's four triangles put together, and I remember being like, this is the hottest... Yeah, I've ever seen enough.
They were like 18. You put her in the corner, and you're like trying to get the perspective.
Ass shot? Yeah, whatever. Like,
ass and
like
boobs and stuff. Yeah. Because if you move the video game camera, you can actually get her like little. You can get a little something.
Oh my god, that's fucking great!
I remember that. Yeah.
You would put her in the corner, and you're like, I'm gonna get myself some eye candy now.
Oh yeah,
all the triangle boobs and ass that you can.
And then when it doesn't work out, you just like throw her off a cliff.
Yeah. They'd be like, nah,
just like in a real relationship.
Yeah. Let me look at all these triangle boobs, and then like, I'm done with you. Out you go.
Yep.
Take your triangle.
But
boobs
back then, all you had was like you had that, or you had like half scrambled porn.
That's true.
Yeah, half scrambled.
Or you had all the chicks on the WWF.
That's right.
Which is WWE now, but yeah.
But back then, like those bra and panty matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
you had Sable back then?
The wrestling. Do you not remember bra and panty matches?
Yeah.
That were matches where the point was to strip your opponent down and to her bras and panties.
They would do it during pay-per-view, and then you would watch it with 14 other dudes and act like you're not getting hard. I mean, like, this is
like 14
cool.
other dudes are all crossing their legs.
Yeah.
It was all everybody around the tube TV, and then we're all like watching it. Like,
this is legitimate sporting entertainment.
Yeah, this is cool stuff that we're looking at, and you pretend like you're not going to jerk off to it later.
Yeah.
Why did they do it in the paper? I mean, I know why they didn't matches, but god damn it, I wanted that shit like on Monday Night Raw when I'm just watching it by myself.
They started getting a little crazy in the late 90s, early 2000s. I don't know if you remember, they had a whole fucking like runway show.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fucking sexy stuff in there. That's all we had.
Yeah, that's all we had back then.
I really don't remember that.
You should go back and look at it.
I just remember like
it's still pretty good.
I remember Undertaker, and I remember Goldberg, and
yeah, shit. Of course.
That's all I remember. I don't remember any of that stuff.
Dude Love, dude. Mankind. I mean, yeah. Mankind.
Nitro.
Yeah.
Nitro had its own like fucking like dance squad.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Okay, so I remember that. I just don't remember like the
bra and panty fights.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer. I must have been concentrating on something else.
On the
triangle boobs.
Yeah. Triangle boobs. That's all you had.
I thought you meant the rock hard pecs of fun.
Of one, the rock?
One, yeah. Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Was he around back then?
Yeah. That's when he blew up.
That's when he first started, yeah.
He was a bad guy.
I was too easy on triangle boobs, man.
Yeah, he was part of the Nation, and then he became like a bad guy for a little bit, and then he did that If You Smell What the Rock Is Cooking, and then that was it, man.
That was it. He was a huge star.
That was it. Everybody was like, get the fuck out of here, Steve Austin, with your white trash bullshit.
People were still pretty into Steve Austin.
They were very much into Steve Austin. He was drinking Bud Light and shit.
He was, throwing it in the crowd.
Yeah.
Fucking Bud
Light. It's pretty great.
Damn it. It's garbage. All of it is garbage.
can you hand me that PBR, bro?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. It was
now the rocks hanging out in fucking Navajo land up in Ship Rock.
No, now it turns out The Rock is one of the coolest human beings alive.
He's certainly one of the hardest working motherfuckers. Yeah, that guy's in 20 movies a year.
Yeah, he's a badass motherfucker. Turns out the whole time.
Turns out, yeah.
Steve Austin, though. Not so much.
He has a pretty cool podcast.
Yeah. He's not fucking The Rock, but he's actually pretty cool right now.
Seems like
he's a cool guy.
Yeah. His retired, podcast is cool.
Nice, still works out, does things.
Does he still stun dudes during his podcast? Oh, I'm
sure he does.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I'm sure he just stuns dudes on the street.
Yeah.
With that incredibly
looking at him.
Fucking dumb. Yeah, exactly. They're stunned by his rock hard pecs despite his advanced age.
I like the stunner because it did nothing to the guy receiving the stunner. He grabs you by the head and then he sits down on the ground.
That's right. That's it. Nothing.
That's a stunner.
That's why The Rock's was always the best, because he sold the stunner by like doing three backflips every time he got it.
Hell yeah. It's that Ric Flair thing where you get hit in the face. He's like,
Yeah.
Woo! Talking about fucking wrestling all day, man.
Yeah, yeah. this is our wrestling podcast where we talk about fucking wrestling from 20 years ago, because none of us have watched it in the last decade. So we don't know what the fuck's going on now.
I think you guys missed your calling.
Yeah, let's stop talking about 20.
Let's do a wrestling podcast that only covers 1996 to 2006.
Yeah, that's it. We get like 4 years in there. And that's it. That's when I was the most into wrestling.
There's enough like wrestlers that are pretty hard up where they'll just come. They'll just come
on. Triple H will come on our fucking podcast.
He definitely won't. Yeah. He's very rich.
Send a tweet to fucking Iron Sheik and just say these fucking jabronis.
That's true.
Yeah, they'll show up. Dude.
Or like the Honky Tonk Man always comes to the local conventions.
Oh God, the Honky Tonk Man.
Still alive?
Yeah, yeah.
Jake the Snake has a weird traveling show that he does
too. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a weird like one-man traveling show that he's doing. Look that shit up. It's basically
like, remember in Always Sunny, Roddy Piper's fucking character?
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's basically what most of them are now. It's sad, but funny, yeah. R.I.P.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Roddy.
Yeah.
So anyways, Indiana Jones has this fight with Nazis. And during it, again, one of the coolest fucking scenes.
I was kind of hoping we were going to talk about They Live now because of Roddy Piper.
Yeah, well, look, we'll circle back around.
Anyway.
So the fucking medallion. We're like 15 medallion. Minutes into I know. So this podcast is going to be what 3 hours
two
long.
In the morning now?
Yeah. This is going to be a 3-hour long podcast.
He fights there with Nazis. He lights some motherfuckers on fire.
Right. So the point I'm trying to get at is the fucking medallion symbol gets thrown into the fire, heats up very hot. One of the Nazi guys grabs it.
He's like, oh, it'd be
good idea. Yeah. Tot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tot is his name.
I believe so. Is it Toth in any other movie? Yeah.
Yes, he was a bad guy in something else. A weird looking dude. He's another.
I always thought he was the poltergeist, like evil dude, but he's not.
He's not. No,
but he looks like that dude.
He's another frog and human in the frog and like a flesh color frog. He's another one of those guys. He's weird looking.
Oh, he's in Red Sonja.
Red Sonja. That's right.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's something else that he's in. If you're pulling him up, there's something else.
That's all that matters. He was in.
Are you talking about Sword of the Valiant, the legend of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight?
Obviously, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight.
Or, you're talking about Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai, yeah. He was in Buckaroo Banzai. Okay.
But also, you know, Red Sonja.
Yeah, Red Sonja. He's a weird, he's a cool, weird villain.
Yeah, he is pretty great. Also, one of the villains in this, I really do need to talk about this, because the guy that plays the Nazi Dietrich.
That's
a fine name, right? Dietrich, good Nazi name.
That's a very
name,
Nazi
right?
name.
Very,
yes.
very German
Dietrich
name.
Dietrich,
a
Nazi.
Yeah,
his real name is Wolf Collar.
That's right, Wolf Collar.
Motherfucker's name is Wolf Collar.
That is a way better name than Dietrich.
That's the best name I've ever heard in my entire goddamn life.
And it's not even like regular, it's not even spelled like
no,
Collar.
No, Collar is.
It's like K-H.
It's K-A-H-L-E-R.
Fucking A.
It's the most D&D fucking dope ass name I've ever heard in my life for a real human being.
Way better than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
As good as Stone Cold Steve Austin is as a name, Wolf Collar is better.
Wolf Collar. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
His real fucking Christian name.
Yeah. His name couldn't be better unless it was like Beheader of Souls. But of Souls is one word?
It's like S-E-O-U-L-S, you know?
I'm going to name my son Beheader.
Beheader?
Yes.
That's a good name.
We've talked a lot about the names that I would give my son, but Beheader's pretty
it's
good.
It's high up there.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
I also want to have him in Utah, like somewhere where they're going to be like, hey, you can't name him that. And I'll be like, fuck yeah, I can. I can name him where the fuck
America.
I want. Yeah. This is America. I will name him California Truck Stop if I want to, sir.
Because that's where he was conceived. And that's what I want him to remember every time he thinks about me and what's her name?
Yeah. And then, you know, Backseat Sally or whatever the fuck her name was. because so, I had sex with her in the backseat.
Yeah. Her name was not Sally, though. Yeah, that was just for the alliteration.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't even alliterate, so I don't know what you were thinking.
Not even close. We got two more of these to do.
Yeah. No, it's going to get wild. So this leads to something very later on, which obviously is the fact that they take the tattoo, the like crazy fucking brand in his hand to make their own version of the thing.
They go to Morocco.
But it's not complete. Yeah, they go to Morocco. They meet John Rhys Davies.
Yeah. But because
who's a fucking legend.
He's a fucking badass.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, my God.
He's been in a million things.
He's also super like jubile and fun in this.
In this movie, he is super fun. He sings.
And all of them, yeah, he's also. He's
always like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah. He's got like fucking Irish children, or, like, English sings.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a fucking great scene.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
He lets monkeys hang out in his house. He's great.
They're all Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got one monkey.
He's technically working for the Nazis when we first meet him, by the way.
Yeah,
which just proves that all Nazis not cool, are
but
monkeys.
This is also 1936, so
everybody's working. I saw Casablanca. Everybody's working for the Nazis. That's Casablanca. Right, yeah. Everybody is. The only one is, you know, old Humphrey Bogart doesn't care.
No. Rick's Indy. Place. Indy doesn't do it either.
Anyway, yeah. So he's got a cool monkey.
Well, the monkey just shows up.
All the kids are playing with the monkey.
And fucking Marion is just like, oh, cool monkey. And they're like, oh, you like the monkey? The monkey can stay. And she's like, ah, I didn't really. No, the monkey's part of the family now. The monkey's in now.
And then, but there's a one-eyed guy that also controls the monkey.
That's right. He's very evil.
Very evil looking guy.
Yeah. He has one eye, which means he's either Odin or evil.
Or evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or pirate.
Or a pirate.
You can be a pirate.
Yeah. But you're probably Nazi, evil.
Nazi, pirate Nazi.
I said evil.
Yeah. Evil one-eyed pirate Nazi. Mixing it together. It's
the next Pirates of the Caribbean going.
That's right.
Yeah. So then
the one where fucking Jack Sparrow is a Nazi.
Indy meets with the French dude and he has that cool line where he's like, look at this stupid watch.
The only thing I like more than rum is killing Jews.
I mean, I don't say
it's
that,
a weird, but. It's a weird choice for Disney, but you know, I don't know. They're just going for it.
But it's like, if you could take this pocket watch and you buried it for 1,000 years, then me and you will be killing each other for it or some stupid shit.
Yeah.
And then the Nazis are about to kill him. Little kids show up.
Well, this is important. This scene, you're jumping the gun.
Yeah.
Because before this happens, we have Marion being stolen.
Oh, this being is this kidnapped. After
this is after. Okay. Yeah. Because part of the reason he's very drunk and is like, let's do it. I'm ready to die.
All right. So they're getting chased by the Nazis.
That's right. They're getting chased by the Nazis. They kidnap Marion. And
I'm on board with the monkey for a minute. They talk a lot about the monkey. And they're like, she's really cool and all that stuff. She really likes you.
Monkey's a lady.
Monkey's a lady.
That's all right. Yeah.
Then
the guy with
the patch is hanging out. The Nazis show up. The guy does a Hell Hitler thing.
Yeah, the monkey does the Hell Hitler thing. You're like, I don't know about this monkey anymore.
Now we're talking about fucking Nazi monkeys?
Nazi
monkeys, always.
The most purest of all evil.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been around monkeys. They're fucking terrifying.
I feel like there should have been more than one. Like, if they would have had 12 Nazi monkeys, that is the most terrifying thing I can imagine.
Well, then Bruce Willis shows up, though. Because you're talking about 12 monkeys. Now we're talking about time travel and shit.
God damn it. Shouldn't have said 12.
Yeah. But anyway.
But I'm going to say that 12 monkeys had a better score than Indiana Jones.
Hot
take over here.
I'm throwing it, man. I'm throwing it out there. Because Indiana Jones, basically, John Williams just like put leftover Star Wars on it, all over it.
So, wow.
Yeah. Ooh, hot takes, man. All right.
That's where I'm going.
The difference is.
It's not just the Seagrams talking.
Dun, 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 dun. That's 12 monkeys. And then, of course,
bum ba dum bum, bum ba
dum. Yeah, all right.
Bum ba dum bum.
Go back and listen to it. The whole score of Indiana Jones is very much like, oh, I'm just going to put some Star Wars in here and Star Wars there. Whatever.
Hot take.
I was listening to it the whole day today.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah.
I really like bummed me out about John Williams.
Wallace
crazy.
I thought we used to be friends. There was a friendship and a unity there. And
Mr. Book, if you're nasty. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. Yeah. You got to go with Mr. Book because you're nasty.
That's true. I am pretty goddamn nasty. That's no lie.
Well, I still love John Williams.
First of all, hard disagree, but we'll move on from
hot
that.
Hot take. Yeah. All right. I like it. I like it, though. You stick to your guns.
I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Till the end of my days.
All right. So he chases her after Ravenwood.
The monkey does a Heil Hitler.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he runs off and puts his fist
into a bulldog.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what happens when you have a monkey.
Because YouTube that shit.
Yeah, YouTube.
YouTube a monkey putting a fist into a bulldog. That actually happened.
Yeah.
In real life. It's crazy.
That's what Nazi monkeys do.
Yeah.
That's what Nazi monkeys do. They're into that ass play.
They're so into ass play.
Yeah, well, and Nazis.
And monkeys.
I don't know, just people in general. So the point is, Marion gets taken.
She hides in the basket, and the fucking monkey sells her out. I thought the monkey was a good guy the whole time.
Turns out,
a Nazi bitch.
Nazi bitch.
I said it. Nazi bitch.
I don't like to call anyone a bitch cunt, but that monkey is a Nazi bitch cunt.
And you know why I trusted this monkey?
Because it's a monkey?
Because it had clothes on.
That's true. It has a very cute vest.
The most adorable of vests.
Yeah.
And a hat.
Naked monkeys.
Right? Does it have a hat?
Fuck those motherfuckers in the face.
I might be confusing it with a boo.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of a boo.
Like, when I remember watching Aladdin, I'm like, this motherfucker right here. But it turns out it's the parrot.
Motherfucker turns out to Heil Hitler.
But turns out it's the parrot, not a boo.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The parrot was a Nazi in that situation.
But doesn't
mean if I see a boo in Disneyland, I'm going to slap the bitch, man.
Yeah. Can't trust him. I trusted it because she had a vest.
That's true. I've never seen an actual Abu in Disneyland. What's up, Disney?
Yeah. Bring some live monkeys into your
bring
shit.
Some live monkeys.
Gonna slap that shit.
Bring some live rabid monkeys into your child-filled amusement.
He was a Nazi. He was just kind of sympathetic to himself. So the monkeys could be that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, we're not hailing Hitler. We're just saying he had some good points.
Yeah, we're just saying he brought the country out of a depression.
They were in an economic depression. He had to do something.
The Treaty of Versailles destroyed the country, and Hitler came back and offered housing.
Exactly, to the poor. Look, and we're just saying his artwork, not bad. He was a decent artist. That's all we're saying. Not about the whole Jew thing, but just, you know, as an artist. Anyway,
so basically, you can't trust a monkey. Let's
edit all this out. It's rough.
But it has to have the vest. Keeping it all.
You have to have the vest and the hat.
If you have just the vest, no. But if you have the hat,
then you're okay.
But she sells out Marion Hart. Marion gets taken.
She gets taken.
Put in the back of a truck.
And Harrison Ford is like, you're going to get taken.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, I have skills. I'm going to find you. I'll kill you.
I don't remember
the whole speech. Yeah.
I'll kill you right now.
And immediately,
get away.
Get away now. Both Liam Neeson and Harrison Ford sound like
the chopper.
They sound exactly like that.
Come on. Get the fuck out of here.
Why didn't Schwarzenegger fight Nazis?
He did, didn't he?
Did he?
I don't know.
Captain America?
Wait, what?
Why didn't Schwarzenegger fight Nazis? I say you're thinking of Captain America because Schwarzenegger was the most American guy that we had.
I mean, that's true. He is.
From 88 to
now.
Yeah, but now.
But he was also like Russian in Red Heat.
He was Russian in Red Heat.
Yeah.
But Russians also killed Nazis. I don't know if you remember that whole part.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stalin's Russia. Yeah,
but at the time that he played Russian,
they were the bad guys.
Cold War and shit.
Very much so.
Why didn't he ever fight Nazis?
I mean, Nazis weren't a real big threat in Terminator days.
I guess.
So.
When they weren't around for Conan.
They were definitely not around for Conan.
Back. They came back in like the thousands.
I mean, James Earl Jones in Conan was basically a Nazi, right? Yeah.
James Earl Jones in Star Wars is basically
he's definitely a fucking Nazi. Yeah.
Man, Arnold was in 300. Holy shit!
It would have been.
That's where that is.
They would have won that battle.
Yeah, in a second.
As they did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's weird. It's weird.
Commando.
There wasn't a lot of fighting Nazis at that time.
He did, but he could have gotten like a period piece movie.
But now I'm just imagining him in like Downton Abbey, where he's just hello.
I like your dress. I'm going to go with English Patient.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with Arnold Schwarzenegger as the English Patient, where he's just wrapped up in bandages the whole time.
My arm is very hurt, but you are beautiful and I love you.
I've been very hurt. I can't do it.
Come on. Bandage me now.
There it is.
My pecs. There God damn it.
3 hours and 20 minutes in a Best Picture Oscar. Anyway, back to the plot of this.
Back to the plot.
It's
so,
a good idea, though. Like,
we get...
Right?
Anyway,
yeah, no.
So,
if we know anything about Schwarzenegger, is that his voice acting is the best.
Best, yes. Let's get him in some cartoons right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's... Here, a scene that happens in this whole sequence, one of the most iconic scenes of all time ever, basically an ad lib by Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah, that's right, when he's fighting that dude.
He's fighting the dude. So, he's
fighting dudes.
As the story, he's fighting a bunch of guys. This whole chase sequence fight is a great sequence. And it ends up in this thing where this guy, dressed in all black, he whips out this huge scimitar and he's swinging it around and doing all this stuff. And Jones just sighs, pulls out his revolver, and shoots him square in the stomach.
Like chest or stomach, yeah. Kills him.
Now, of course, everyone already knows this, but in case you don't.
It's really good. It's a really funny, good scene.
Well, but you also know that the whole reason this happens is that Harrison Ford was supposed to have this whole whip fight with this guy, and he was very, very ill
that
day.
They all got food poisoning.
Yeah, they all got food poisoning, and he's like, didn't want to do it, so he's just like, what if I just shoot this guy?
Because
of
the monkeys.
Yeah.
And yeah, the monkeys are full of disease.
You can't have them around.
No,
Nazi disease.
Yeah. Nazi disease too, which just is even worse because it makes you hate people,
Nazi
I guess.
Nazi lice?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nazi lice. They
what they did to the Jewish lice? Unforgivable, sir.
Unforgivable
what they did to the Jewish lice.
I mean, yes, we murder lice too, but they did it in a very cruel way.
10 million Jewish lice, sir.
Definitely have to cut this part out, though. So this, what I wanted to get to here is that this is one of three essentially improv moments / lines that Harrison Ford has done in his career that are the best written things in the history of movies.
Yeah,
basically,
most memorable scenes. Oh, obviously, yeah.
So there's obviously this scene, right, which is a scene. But then he has two lines. He has a line in Star Wars, the iconic "I love you." I know.
Which is improv as well.
Which is improv,
great,
and is one of the great moments in all of cinema history.
Yeah.
And then very shortly after this, well, actually quite a ways after this scene, but eventually he gets to the scene with Marion where. Very romantic scene. They're kissing and stuff like that and whatever. But when he's taking off his shirt and he's like, ah, her. And she's like, you changed a lot. Not the years. It's the miles.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, an improv line better than any line any screenplay writer has written in the history of screenplay writing.
Yeah. What's up, Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Shots fired.
Lucas
but also,
and Spielberg.
All these people have written dozens of movies. Harrison Ford's just like, nah. I got fire.
How many of those do you think are just like he kept doing that and it was just
garbage? And
they eventually
got it, yeah.
And then he's just like, he knocked out three of them.
If we recorded this if we recorded this podcast 20 times and just kept the best 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anyways, my point is Harrison.
Out of 4 hours, man, it's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a tough one.
Anyways, the point is Harrison Ford's the greatest. Marion gets her basket she's being carried in, gets put into this vehicle filled with explosives.
It explodes.
Harrison Ford shoots the driver. It flips over. It explodes.
He gets drunk and then that's...
Because he thinks she's dead.
Yeah.
And he gets drunk and that's the whole scene where the family has to come and save him because he's like, let's just do it. Let's fucking go to hell. I'll meet you there, motherfucker.
And then the kids come.
So
they're about to shoot him.
And the kids come and it's fucking John Rhys Davis's kids come and save his life and whatever.
It's him and Belloc.
Yeah. So the thing I wanted to ask you about this, though, so he has not seen Marion in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? Dated her when she was like 15.
Yes.
And by dating her, I mean he just got it in a couple times.
Yes.
At least two weeks.
I'm guessing more like 2 months.
Yeah.
I'll give him two months because she was
very in love with him.
Yeah. So I'm guessing they were together for a couple of months, and then he's like, you know what? I got shit to do, whatever.
Also, like, very accurately, he was friends with her dad.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you meet 15-year-olds.
That's how you... I'm surprised he didn't marry her. That's how you marry 15-year-olds back then. In the 30s? Yeah.
That's true.
Are you daddy's girl?
You're like, you know, yeah, exactly. You know, my friend the butcher, he's got a butcher shop.
He's got a nice...
And then a 15-year-old girl's like, well, I guess I'm his wife now.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, you had a point.
My point is... So it's been 10 years since he's seen this woman. They had maybe a 2-week to 2-month fling. 10 years goes by. He hasn't seen her. She dies. He is so emotionally devastated, he is ready to die.
I don't think that's necessarily it. If I go outside tomorrow morning and I have a flat tire,
you're ready
to get fucked up drunk.
So you think it's just the alcohol?
I'm going to get fucked up drunk, and then you get me 8 drinks in, and I'm like, fuck this world, man. I'm out. I'm out. Flat tires? Fuck that shit. I'm out. I feel like it was just the alcohol. He's just getting drunk.
Book?
Well, I don't know, man. It's kind of a weird thing. I mean, I remember like chicks I hooked up with like one night, and I still remember who they are.
Oh, yeah obviously. Yeah, true. No, I still have like very fond feelings for women I dated like 10 years ago.
If you have like a good... hearted, like your soul. Or your
also, but he's going through some adventures with her now.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't want to be like a dick, but like, I don't want to be the dick.
I would at the very least get very drunk.
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't be sad. I'm just saying I wouldn't be suicidal.
Well, I mean, he taunts, but I don't think he's ready to go.
I don't think so either. But
I never got the impression that he was suicidal.
No, he was just taunting him.
He knows he's going to die. He says, "Let's go to hell together."
It's a bummer that she's gone.
Yeah, I feel like that's more about the relationship between him and Belloc than the chick. But anyway, all these little kids show up and they pick and they take him.
And everyone laughs at him and is like, next time, Mr. Jones, the kids will not be able to save you.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then also, then we have the whole scene where...
The dates.
They poison the dates.
They poison the dates. Monkey eats the dates.
No, it's
the monkey.
It's a great bit where Indiana Jones grabs a date right away and he's just tossing it.
And he's
it
tossing
up in the
it
air.
Like talking to John Almost Stavis.
Almost
going to
eat it.
Yeah.
And then he tosses it up and then he grabs it. He's like, bad dates. And then you see that the fucking Nazi monkey is dead now. He got poisoned for me. Also, it ate like 10 dates.
Yeah, it ate a lot of dates.
That's a dickhead of a monkey.
It ate them very quickly, so I think that's why it took the poison a minute.
But dates are pretty pounds. Good. Though, so. Dates are... I saw that dates shit and I was delicious. Like, dates are delicious.
Yeah,
I want
dates,
more of
they
shit.
Looked very, very tasty.
I got some dates from Dates, Arizona.
Yeah. Like, holy you shit. Know, we, that's the only place to grow... We can grow them in like in the desert in Arizona and in Palm Springs and in Morocco area, and that's it, in the world.
Well, we're basically Morocco
you
West.
You would think like Dates, Arizona would be bigger than it is.
Yeah,
you would think so.
You drive by there and just
delicious.
Smell like poo.
Yeah,
like
no, it's poo. Terrible there. Yeah. But it's only two places in the world that grow them, and that's it.
That's wild.
That's crazy, right? But just, anyways.
Eat dates. If you never had a date.
Nazi monkeys.
If you never had a date, no fucking
because
just
of your fear.
Balls up and ask a lady.
Yeah.
But also eat them. They're delicious.
Yes. Yeah.
Eat a date in front of your date.
That's right. Eat a date with your date. Off your date.
Take your date on a date to your date with your date off a date. Perfect.
That's right.
And actually, like, talk to people. Fucking talk to women in person, man. Fuck that.
We're giving a lot of advice today.
Stop the Tindering Hey, listeners, stop the Tindering bullshit.
Stop being a fucking puss.
Start fucking talking to women in person, man.
Yeah. Go to a grocery store.
And stop ghosting people. It's not cool. Just say you're not interested.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Just say it.
Just
man.
Say it. So
I'm saying it for all the now Alfred Molina body types Alfred Molina's from 20s to his 20s, you know. I'm just
So the big thing that happens,
the most beautiful of Alfred Molina.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the big thing that happens here.
But is he beautiful like just because he's skinny or like is now Alfred Molina
Alfred
beautiful?
Alfred Molina is he a beautiful human being because he
and,
knows
like,
love.
Intellectual.
Well, I mean, I guess he's beautiful comparatively.
To who?
Like to himself now.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Back then, though, you're like...
I don't think supple. He's not beautiful in this movie, though. He's just like a shitty
he's
betrayer.
Like,
yeah, I don't know if I let him touch my butt.
Yeah.
Either way, like, I'm just not sure.
He's only beautiful in Frida, I think.
Oh, he's so good in Frida.
He's really beautiful in Frida.
And Spider-Man
Yeah, because that's what I
and
think
Spider-Man
about...
Spider-Man 2, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good in that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Frida... My first thought in Frida isn't how beautiful Alfred Molina is... In the movie where fucking Selma Hayek
gets
naked
a bunch of times.
Yeah. Anyways, so
and Diego Luna.
Well, yeah, he's a handsome feller.
Yeah.
The big thing that happens in this next scene, though, is that Indy and Salah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They realize that the Nazis only have one half because it only burned on one half of the thing burned on his fucking hand.
So they take the emblem.
Take the amulet to like this old fucking Arab dude who's like reads like, that shit.
He's creepy.
Yeah. And he's like, you take it four.
You take it like four
quarts.
Shit.
I don't know, 4 quarts in this direction.
That's right.
And he's like, all right, that we do it. And then he's like, oh, no, no, wait. But no, on the other side, take 10 cubits back
for fucking to out of honoring the Hebrew God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is also very cool of the Nazis to just take the burn off of his fucking hand and roll with that. Yeah. That's pretty fucking rad.
It is good.
So then he's like, they're digging in the wrong place, so we got to go over there.
And which is also great. I love how they say it at the same time. Yeah, when they look at each other. They're digging in the wrong place. It's so good.
And, then it also, it follows up with that shot of the fuck of Todd, the Nazi, coming up and being like, Heil Hitler.
Yeah.
And you see that burn in his fucking hand. Oh, so fucking
good
time. Cool.
Very good.
So cool, man. So then Indy finds it for reals.
Right. So they go to the site. He goes, he sneaks into the fucking map room.
Yeah.
This whole sequence is so cool too, right? Because the whole idea of the map room is you take the staff of a certain length, you put the thing on top of the staff, you put it in a specific hole,
and then when the
sun hits a specific time, it shines a fucking, I mean, in reality, I would imagine it's just a little bit of sunlight.
Like a concentrated light.
In the movie, it's a goddamn fucking laser beam onto the spot in the city where it's supposed to be. So anyways, they figure out where it's going to be. They dig it up. And there's that fucking great iconic shot of like the sun going down and Indy taking off the fucking turban and putting on the hat. And it's just shadows and you hear the music and stuff. It's so good. And then it cuts immediately from that amazing desert shot to that cool as fuck on this set. But it's got that fucking like painting background of the lightning and stuff going on.
And here's something happens at this moment. Here's where I find out that Indiana Jones... strongest motherfucker alive.
Right. Because we should mention real quick, he does find that Marion's alive there and is like, no, stay here because I got shit to find.
Oh, yeah, because you got kidnapped.
Just FYI. But yes, you find out that,
he almost unties her and he's like, I do like that scene.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
Because she's like, let me go. And he's like, but the arc, though. And she's like, no, they're going to rape me. And he's like, yeah, but the arc, though. I'll be back, I swear to God. And he just like backs away.
Yeah.
And leaves her.
But yes, you're right. Indiana Jones. So first of all, they throw a torch down there. What's down there?
Snakes.
Snakes.
Why is there always got to be snakes?
Who doesn't like snakes?
Indiana Jones. Previously established on the plane. Not a big snake guy.
He hates snakes.
So in real life, Harrison Ford, that snake very much wanted to kill him. Yeah. So there's a scene, Harrison Ford falls down, there's this cobra there that's fucking staring at him in his face, he backs up and stuff. In real life, there was a clear piece of glass between them. That snake attacked the glass.
Yeah, he like shot venom on it.
Yeah.
If you go, if you have the VHS of it, go to the VHS, you can clearly see the fucking glass.
Yeah.
In it. They digitally took it
There's
out.
There's also, the DVD, if you really look closely, again, in older versions, you can see that because they didn't have enough snakes, they threw just like tubing and like legless lizards and stuff like that. Yeah.
They cut like hoses and pieces down there. Yeah.
I never noticed it as a kid. It doesn't matter.
Because we were watching it on a tube television.
That's true. We were also watching it on a 13-inch fucking terrible tube television.
180p.
So.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The worst fucking definition you could fucking...
It did not matter at all.
Terrible. It's just color. It's just cones of but colors.
Anyways, the movie's perfect.
Yeah.
So, yes, you get to find out that Indiana Jones is the strongest motherfucker alive because they find the Ark. The Ark, first of all, it's like in a giant fucking stone tomb.
Yes.
And him and fucking John Rhys Davis, and granted, John Rhys Davis is a big guy.
He's a big guy.
He's like 6'4". They pick up this piece of stone that has to weigh like 600 pounds. Like it's nothing.
It's like 6 feet by 4 feet.
Yeah. This is at least 600 to 3,000 pounds.
And they're like,
of solid stone they're just picking up. Yeah.
Toss.
And then they pick up the whole arc, which again is like solid gold and shit in it. Like that arc has got to be, again, I would say 600 to 3 million pounds.
Strongest motherfucker alive.
Yeah. They just pick that shit right up.
Yeah. So then they get caught by the Nazis, French guy.
Because he sees them because it's daylight now.
Yeah.
There's also the scene in between there where the French guy totally tries to have sex with Marion by getting her drunk, but in reality, she's getting him drunk.
We got to talk about this scene because...
The hangar?
Yeah, the hangar.
Amazing. Yeah.
When the fucking Nazi shows up and then he pulls out that fucking thing, it's like a chain. It looks like nunchucks.
Yeah, and you're like, shit, this motherfucker's about to do some like swells, Bruce Lee shit on her.
And then he just turns it into a hanger and puts his coat on it. Perfect.
Because they already established that he's there to torture her for information.
Yeah. So anyway, they leave Indy down there. They take the Ark and they throw her down there as well.
That's right.
It's just, then after that, it's just them trying to get out of the fucking thing.
And
he pushes a giant fucking idol down.
A giant fucking statue of Anubis down through a wall so they can escape.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's
pretty fucking great.
It's like mom strength.
Yeah.
Yes.
When your kids are in fucking.
Takes the mom strength. Yeah. Pretty perfect.
It's great.
The damn those snakes.
Yeah. So, of course, by this point, the Nazis are loading up the Ark.
Yeah.
They got planes going. Indy's not letting that shit fly.
They
got
to take it back to a specific place, right?
Well, they're taking it back to Berlin, right?
Yeah.
They're taking it back to the Führer.
Yeah. Or Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's like a weird island. If you look it up, it's like a weird made-up island.
Well, I mean, eventually they take it to an island first or whatever, but yeah. So Indy doesn't want the plane to take off, so they go attack the plane. That's when you get the just amazing scene.
The fight scene with a giant fucking dude.
So also, can we talk about the punch noise? The punch noise is incredible. Evidently, and again, this is completely unverified and just internet bullshit, so it may or may not be real.
It is a lot of like...
But supposedly most of that is them taking a baseball bat and hitting wet leather.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's my favorite punch noise in the history of punch noises.
And don't forget the...
The Wilhelm scream. Yes.
Wilhelm screams in there.
We got a couple Wilhelm screams. There's also one later during the car chase when he throws the Nazi into the window. Yeah.
Fucking great. Wilhelm screams are the best.
Wilhelm screams are the best.
That's like my ringtone.
It is. Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Every time somebody like texts me, you're like,
So. Yeah, we had a conversation about this a while back. Yeah. You know how fucking awesome it is to hear it.
That's like I learned that when I was doing internships at Screen Gems back in North Carolina.
Yeah.
The Wilhelm scream was like the shit. So I just like, dude.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, I took it, put it as a wave on my phone, and since then, since 2009 has been a thing.
Fucking 10 years it's been, whenever it calls you.
Somebody fucking text me.
Nice.
That's fucking great.
Well, it's funny because like my girlfriend now, Leah, she's like, was that your phone or was that the movie?
Yeah. Because I hear that shit in every movie.
In every movie.
That's fucking great.
So, but we get, again, one of the fucking most iconic scenes.
Word.
This giant fucking Nazi dude comes out and is like,
like ready. He's like,
well, I love his thing too is like, oh, should I like raise an alarm? Should I grab a gun? Should I shoot this guy?
I'm gonna
like,
beat you to death.
No, let me take my shirt off and be like, I'm a big guy. I'm gonna punch you.
And then like it was like Lenny's like,
now I gotta fight this guy.
Fight this guy now too.
And he does like the whole like, oh, look at your shoe, and he punches him in the nuts. And
He's immediately goes to tricks. Does not even try and fight this guy straight.
Like,
he's
like, huge.
Yeah.
He's also that weird, not fit.
Exactly. Fit guy. I love, he's 1930s huge, which just means he's a big guy. He's not like The Rock or fucking like, he's not that, super cut or anything. He's
like strong guy and like,
yeah.
He's at a carnival or whatever. He should just like have like a
muscular, not muscular guy.
Yeah. Like, he's just not in that great a shape. He's just kind of a big dude.
He was just a guy. He works in on the railroads all day and then he eats 14 steaks.
That's right, exactly. Like,
so he's not like cut.
Yeah.
But he
still eats bread and shit.
Strong motherfucker. Yeah. So he fights him, and then we get that great iconic scene where the fucking plane is turning around. The plane is
turning around because Marion is like got caught up in the plane. By this point,
Marion went from a badass fucking chick that can drink you under the table and kick some ass into, I don't know what's going on, I'm scared. And then it goes, please save me.
Also, though, I will give her this. In this scene, she gets stuck in the plane, but rather than just being stuck in the plane, she crawls to the gun and shoots like 20 dudes.
That's cool.
It's pretty fucking dope.
And then, then we get the scene, and then Indy is like getting his ass kind of beat. And then
he's totally getting his ass beat.
The fucking plane comes around. And then
the plane comes around. He ducks. Guy turns. Propeller.
He's like, ah.
Yeah. Ah. And like, he gets.
No!
Lawnmowered is what happens.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the word for it.
The evil dude in Austin Powers waiting for the steamroller.
Right. Wow, man, one of the best scenes. No, get out of the way.
The dude from Mad TV.
Stuart from Mad TV.
Yeah, that's right.
Real fucking name.
Man. Yeah, I never remember that fucking dude's name.
So they have the Ark. So they take off in a caravan.
And then he stops him with the bazooka.
Indiana Jones. Well, no, no, no. You're jumping way the fuck ahead, dude.
Go to Applebee's? We're fucking an hour and a half.
I don't care. We got to talk about one of the great car fucking fight scene, chase scenes of all fucking time.
Let's do it.
Because first of all, he jumps on a horse to chase after them. Already dope as shit.
Yeah, that's cool.
Then he jumps off the horse onto a fucking caravan vehicle.
Thing with Jigger.
Yeah. Look.
Also cool as shit.
All cool. Punches dudes, takes over, punches more dudes. Shooting, falls out the gets thrown out the front windshield.
The Wilhelm scream happens in Millet.
That's yeah, right. Yeah, it happens like three times in Millet. Yeah.
It does the stagecoach dragged underneath.
That's right. Well, it's a great stunt. That's a great stunt.
So good.
He's legitimately being dragged under the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a sped up, but not even sped up that much. It's like 30 frames per second instead of 24. 6 frames per second. That's nothing.
That's nothing.
But anyway, he's been dragged down. Apparently he like bruised his ribs pretty hard and that during all that. That is a pretty good scene.
There's a real stunt guy that was there for most of it. But yeah, no, that whole sequence is super badass. He gets back onto the truck, knocks the dude out. A bunch of cars go flying off into the fucking ravine.
Yeah.
And then it's actually a really funny and cool finish where he drives into this little like village and the people immediately hide him in this secret garage.
Oh, yeah.
To like foil the Nazis.
Yeah. Because back then you would just foil Nazis.
Yeah. Because fuck those guys.
Yeah.
And then we get the scene again with John Rhys Davis hooking up with like this pirate guy to take them across the sea. Turns out he betrays him, but.
They all betray him.
They all betray him. But then in the meantime, we get that iconic, you know, it's not the years, it's the miles. And where does it not hurt?
Where does it hurt? And he's like.
It doesn't hurt here. And they kiss. Then he passes out because
I'm
he is
use that next time.
Beaten half to death.
I'm going to use that, but it's just going to be all penis.
Yes.
Well, you know where it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Basically, focus all of your kissing right here. Yeah.
You know, I'm chubby Alfred Molina right now.
Yeah. So that's right.
I'm trying to go to like skinny Alfred Molina.
So yeah, to this one.
So I'm gonna use that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's I'm sore here.
It hurts right here. It doesn't hurt right here. It's a good move. It's a good scene.
It's romantic. It's funny. It's clever.
He gets to bang. I don't know if you've ever been around a chick that
he passes out,
hated you for a minute.
Passes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a very passionate reunion, I'm sure.
Yeah. If you ever run a chick that hated you for a minute and you bag that again, it's a great feeling.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. He's like, oh, she hated me like fucking a week ago.
Turns out the captain betrays him. Nazis show up.
Obviously. Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, he definitely. Also a black guy, too. George Lucas, do we need to talk?
Yeah.
Do you have some issues? So
he's got plenty of issues.
Yeah. So they take them. Well, actually, they take Raven, fucking Ravenwood, Marion. They take her hostage.
Yeah,
and he ends up then sneaking after them. There's that
bazooka.
Well, even before that, there's that great scene where he knocks out the Nazi guy, and of course, the clothes fit perfectly, but not really.
Yeah. Obviously, they always do.
And punches more Nazis. The whole thing's good.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes, he grabs a bazooka and is like, "Hey, I'll blow up the Ark if you don't give me the woman." And they're like, all right, go ahead. And he's like, I'm not actually going to blow up the Ark, though.
No, he's like, I'm a terrible archaeologist.
Yeah, I'm not actually going
to
do that.
I just bring you to the shit, and then you take it from me. I can't defend any
So I guess
things.
We'll just hang out and be tied up while you do the Ark opening stuff.
Yeah, it is weird that they're like, he's not going to do it. Tie him up. And he's like, all right, I guess.
Yeah.
He could have ran away and then like
recombobulated. Well, there was dudes behind him with guns.
That's true.
Yeah. But it is, and this, obviously, lots of people have made fun of the movie for this, is that the climax of the movie is him being tied up and just being like,
Don't look.
I guess the Nazis are all dead now.
Like, Indy does a good amount of work, but really, all he does is make everything easier for the Nazis. And
I mean, then, he kills a lot of Nazis.
That's the Ark does the rest of the job.
Look. He does 20%. God takes care of the other 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, coolest motherfucking scene I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. God's wrath like materializes and starts fucking shooting giant beams of lightning through Nazis.
They take it to this fucking weird island.
And fire.
What's his name? Dresses up in a weird stupid thing.
Ghosts come out. And the motherfuckers melt, like faces start melting and like
coolest effect
skulls.
Ever. Oh, that effect. Seen those effects carry over to Poltergeist?
Yeah, they do.
I seriously just fucking didn't want to watch movies.
Well, it's apparently like the effects guy after that was got hit up by everybody in Hollywood. Oh, yeah. Like, how did you do that? And supposedly originally because it had the head exploding, they got an R rating for that head exploding, so they had to go back and add that.
The digital fire stuff. Well, it wasn't like even digital, but it was like, exactly.
Over it to get a PG. This movie's rated PG.
Yeah.
This movie has exploding faces and melting faces.
That's right.
And Nazis and PG.
Yeah.
Pretty
bad. And a dude fucking getting obliterated by a propeller.
By a propeller, which is terrifying.
Which is...
And you're right. When I was a kid, I was like, number one fear.
I'm going to stay away from
that. That's definitely the way that people die in normal life.
So, like, whenever I see a movie and there's an airplane propeller, I'm like, oh, that's
someone's going to get the fuck away from that shit.
Someone's about to get Fargo. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, well, I mean, again, we've talked about this before, but back then, I was like, there's going to be piranhas.
Piranhas everywhere. Quicksand.
There's going to be quicksand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now there's going to be old giant propellers that are going to be trying to kill me left and right.
So is God's wrath kills all the Nazis.
Yes.
And
as it should.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Here's a question for you. So the whole thing, like Harrison Ford is like, don't look. Whatever happens, don't look. But
do you look?
Yeah. If you were in that situation, would you like crack an eye? Would you be like, hey, what's going on over here? I hear a lot of screaming.
If I start hearing screaming, I don't know. I don't crack an eye.
Are you sure though? Because you wouldn't be a little curious. Some screaming. You wouldn't be a little curious as to why screaming's happening.
See, bro.
I mean, I would be curious, but if there was no screaming, I would open my eyes and be like, what the fuck is going on? But because I hear screaming, I'm like, something bad's going on.
See, but here's the thing. I asked you earlier, in the Indiana Jones ride, when Indy specifically tells you not to look at the eyes of the idol, you said you looked at the eyes immediately, first time.
Yeah, it's a Disneyland ride, man. I look at everything in that fucker.
Indy told you not to look.
I know what Indy said, but it's a fun ride, and I will not close my eyes and lose some shit. There's fire in that thing.
It's true. There's a lot of things in that fucking ride that's super rad.
Oh, it's fucking so rad.
John Rhys Davies is telling me what to do. I'm like,
the whiplash? You get whiplash from getting whipped around pretty hard? Yeah.
I'm not tossing any dwarves.
Yeah,
you know, it's a thing.
It breaks down like four times a day.
That's probably true. Like, I got fucking giant rocks rolling at you and shit.
No, legitimately, that ride breaks down like ten times a day.
It could break down. I'm going to get a Dole Whip right after.
Exactly. And the cool thing is, like, they're like, we don't know when it's going to come on. And you're walking by and they're like, it came on. And you're like, fuck yeah, 5 minute wait. I'm on board with this shit.
Woo! Just got to be there right time, right place.
Watch it every time.
Drink your Dole Whip. Now I want to go to Disneyland more than anything.
Yeah, that's great. So, then, of course, the end is,
all the Nazis melt.
They take the Ark back. They give it to the government.
Porkins is like.
Porkins like, we got top men working on it.
Top men.
And that means they bury it in a very secret facility with miles of other secret things.
And I love that that became like the Easter egg for a lot of other things.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
Yeah.
Such a cool thing.
I can't remember right now what they are.
Also,
Family Guy shit.
Yeah, probably.
No, but there was like Star Wars. No, not Star Wars, but like fucking Marvel shit.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. Yeah.
X-Files.
They reference it like crazy. It's that idea that, like, oh, the government
knows all these secrets, the
bureaucracy and all that shit.
But Marion at the end is with Indy. They're like a thing now, and they go off to have fun adventures or whatever.
It's like James Bond, man. She's gone. Remember when James Bond got married, and they were like, what?
She's dead now.
And then, like, no, she died.
Blofeld killed her.
In this case, it's Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf kills all of it, actually.
She leaves. She's not there for Last Crusade, obviously. And then she comes back for Crystal Skull because...
And she's got Shia LaBeouf now. She has his baby.
Yeah.
Aliens.
So anyways, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. But the top man is the end of the movie. And he's mad. He's mad about it.
He's mad about it. They don't know what they're doing, whatever, and the whole thing. But obviously we get other movies, which we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about Temple of Doom. Another very special new guest who's never been on the podcast before. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
You got to come back next week.
Oh, shit.
Come back next week for this big surprise guest.
Can I come back as like a spectator?
Yeah. I'm not on board with that. Yeah. Okay. You can do more of your vlog.
Almonds and shit at you?
Yeah. I mean, directly in my mouth.
Right. I have a lot of almonds in my house.
You got to bring dates.
Almonds are expensive, dude. I'm on board with almonds. Okay. Yeah.
Dates and almonds, they go good together. So, but how, Francisco, would we make this movie? And Wallace, this is for you too. How do we make this movie just 110 times better?
How do we fix this
movie?
I already got it. All right.
Okay.
Run with it.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
This is true.
Okay. Obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So
obviously
is he Indiana Jones?
I love Harrison Ford. Arnold Schwarzenegger, though. I kind of feel like he would have known more as a person in general. So if he went over there, because he's obviously from Europe, fucking Austria. That's true. Shit.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
So he would be like fucking Nazis. Like, he's already fucking Nazis. And he never had a chance.
He's literally fucking Nazis.
Yeah. He's probably fucking all the Nazis. But but muscular a little. And
he's muscular. I do feel that the scene where the big strong guy shows up to fight him, he'd be like,
yeah.
Fuck you.
He just like picks him up and throws him up and throws him
into the straight into the propeller. Yeah.
Do you know what it's like to be in a blender?
I do also feel there's a lot of one-liners.
In the 90s, we gave him a shit ton of one-liners and more information than he ever needed.
So I do also like this idea now too, where every solution is just solved by him being very strong and big. So, like, the scene where the sword fighter is coming at him, he's like, sword. Arnold Schwarzenegger just reaches over and he's like, ah! And just crushes his head with one hand. Yeah.
Like Hellboy would.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one giant massive hand.
Or he takes, like, a weapon from that era and just be like, fuck you.
That's right. Instead of having the revolver, he grabs, like, a missile launcher every time.
Or like Tommy gun or something.
Yeah.
Can we still get a montage scene where he's like in the jungle, like getting ready and like putting on.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he's putting the camo and shit.
You got a sword. I got a gun.
Maybe mixing the two guns together.
Fucking one-liners, man. That's what Arnold's known for.
Right, yeah, forget the guns and everything. Can it just be Conan with the sword? With the
sword? Oh, yeah.
And he's just like.
Like, Conan just fell into the Ark of the Covenant situation.
No, exactly. They're just like, oh, we got to find this Ark. It's fucking magic. I do not like magic. Ah, this sorcerer ruined my life. They killed my mother. and so he cuts people in half. Yeah.
All right. I'm on board with that.
I do like this. So I was also thinking about this, though. So they're making another movie, right?
Yeah. They're making a fifth one.
Okay. So they're making a fifth one. The last one. So all the first two were in the 30s.
Yes.
Second one's in the 40s.
Yes.
The third one's in the 40s. Fourth one's in the 50s. So presumably the next one's in the 1960s, right? Because it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think?
What is he after? Fighting
Elvis?
Yeah, I was going to say Beatles.
Because Elvis knows his fucking karate and shit.
Elvis does know karate.
Elvis does know karate, so he could be a henchman. It is Beatles mania.
Yeah. Also, just like maybe like draft burning hippies.
Draft
dodging hippies.
I feel like Indy. He's a World War II Greatest Generation guy. He's not gonna like the hippies.
I like this idea of a guy like Bob Dylan with a guitar. And he's like, how many roads? And then just the whip comes in, breaks his fucking guitar in half. And then is like, not on my watch.
But I do like this Beatles idea. So
he's also 75 years old.
He's 107 years old by this point. The Beatles are the biggest thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
Biggest thing in the world. Are the Beatles, like, how do they get so big? Is it magic? It's probably magic, right?
It's going to be magic.
It's probably like some fucking, is it like some ancient artifact that the Beatles stole from China or something?
They found a music artifact.
They found a music.
From way back.
They found fucking Robert Johnson's magic devil guitar.
Yeah, obviously.
And they have now controlled the world and Indy has to get it back. But of course, when he shows up to fight them, they're the Beatles.
And there's hippies everywhere.
And there's hippies everywhere. And he's just like.
If here's our help.
Okay.
And help, Ringo Starr finds a ring that's like an ancient ring and he puts it on and
this
he
works.
Can't take it off.
So he's.
And he has to marry like a weird native daughter.
All right. So it's a magic ring.
So why wouldn't
Indiana Jones comes from the magic ring and Ringo's just like, hey.
Also, it should still be Schwarzenegger Indy.
So you do Schwarzenegger, I'll be Ringo. So he's like, hey, man, let's play some drums and get along. You know, everyone's
and
okay.
Fuck you, Ringo. I'm gonna kick you.
Make love, man, you know?
He leads with fuck you, Ringo.
Make love to my gun, motherfucker. Fuck you.
And it just immediately shoots.
It's good. I like this. All right. So
we fixed Raiders by having Schwarzenegger shoot Ringo Starr in the face.
So Spielberg, Lucas, Kasdan, call us up. We got the script for part 6 coming at you. Part 5? Part 5.
We figured it out.
Part 5 coming at you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One Schwarzenegger shoot and Ringo Starr in the face.
That's right.
Sergeant Pepper this motherfucker.
Like, all you need is love, you know?
I fucking love it.
Shoot in the face. All right, so that's the end of part 1 of our extravaganza. Yeah,
part 1 of our Indiana Jones extravaganza.
We're going to be back next week with, as mentioned, special guest and Temple of Doom. Great movie. And until then...
Kalima.
Oh, you know we never did sponsors?
Yeah, you didn't, bro.
We didn't do sponsors. Real quick, People's Choice Video.
People's Choice Video, you know, provided the movie. You can go rent all the Indiana Jones movies. Go around. At People's Choice.
Check it out. Wallace Book, check out his Instagram. Check out his YouTube video.
Yeah, Instagram, WBookArt, YouTube, and Facebook is Mr. Book.
Check
and,
out his DeviantArt, which I just assume is just him.
There's there, like, as a furry. That's there. That's back when I was a furry. That's, you know. But I had a really rad girlfriend back then who was just into all the butt stuff. So
yeah, so that's cool.
It's cool. Yeah. It's all good.
Legitimately, check out Book's vinyl art. It's amazing.
It's really good.
It's amazing, and
Your best example is going to be the Instagram.
Go to the Instagram. It's amazing.
It's public. You can check it out, whatever. But man, I mean, if you want me doing furry butt stuff, I will paint that.
He'll paint that shit.
Yeah, I'll paint it.
He'll do it too, but
it's taken off.
That costs extra.
It's huge.
No, I won't do it.
I love it.
Anymore.
I'm kind of spoken.
I love it. I share it all the time, man. I think you have the best fucking idea. And I think
it's really cool.
It's one of the best fucking Instagram pages that I follow.
It's really good.
For sure.
I mean, it's not the best one I follow because it's not just naked ladies, but again, you know, it's deviant. Okay. Cosplay deviants, yeah.
And then as not just because I used to work there, but you guys, fucking People's Choice.
People's Choice. Go rent the movies.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, anyways, that's enough for sponsors. Blockheads, we love you. Thank you for listening to this, what will surely be our longest episode yet.
Yeah.
But hey, it's Indiana Jones. It's one of the great movies of all time.
What are we going to say, Book? Say it.
I love you guys.
Yeah.
We love you too.
Yeah. Have a good night.
And we love you, audience. And until next week, I'm EG Sites.
I'm Russell Dean.
I'm Wallace Book.
Mr. Book, if you're nasty.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.